Okay, before we move forward, any questions or comments, anything you want to clarify at this point? Did I say something that provoked an idea in you or a challenge or something on the topic of reputation before we move forward? So, anyone? Lisa, anything? No? Lara? Okay. Faye? Take it off. Comment, Faye. All right, sige. Go. No.
How do you handle
relationships? What?
How do you handle emotions? How do you handle when either from our church or from a member of the church who created, did something that perceive from non-victory, na they make a judgment that victory ganto because of that action, and you need to correct that perception of people or something.
Paulit, so sino yung may ginawang mali?
Either church member or a staff.
Na rinepresent tayo.
Yes, yes.
Paano yun nalaman? Nag-comment sa social media.
People are commenting on social media and saying something about
the person.
The
victory.
The victory.
Okay.
The Christian church.
Okay, it's a good question. Deals with two aspects of, one is to a degree conflict management, the other one's PR. Okay? The big rule in PR is this. Never fight a PR battle online. Okay? Remember the discussion about the old lady, young lady? That's a useless debate. When you're online and when you're talking to a disgruntled individual who is so sure of her or his conclusion about you or the organization, there is no point in arguing against it. That person has concluded. Now remember, they have the right to their conclusions, whether it's right or wrong. Ganun talaga siya. You know, if every restaurant fights every negative review, diba? There's no end to it. Okay? So what you don't want to do, when somebody starts slinging mud at you, what you don't want to do is pick up the mud they slung and say, hindi totoo yan. You know? Because when you do that, guess who also has mud in their hands? You. Okay? So, in this context, what you want to do is handle it very civilly, okay? And more often than not, and we can learn from television controversies with this, okay? The parties that do not participate with the gossip or the controversy, eventually, there's nothing more to say about it. And the rest of life moves on. And other interesting things to talk about take over, right? And so what we want to do is stay consistent with who we are. Now, that said, is there a place for correcting the individuals involved? Yes, but in a private setting. In a case of a situation, let's say gossip. Gossip starts to spread. Okay, let's say gossip about Nomer. Oh, si Nomer daw, crush na si ganto. Spread. Spread, di ba? What do we do with that? Kung sinomer yon, we fan the flames of the gossip. Okay, that's what we do. Okay, we bring it to its full extent. Okay, yan yung gusto natin gawin. I will put the full powers of the Global Communication Office to ensure that that word spreads. You know, no, but really, when a situation comes up, what you want to do is find the root and go straight to the root in a private conversation. And what we found out is many times, even the root is misquoted. And no, that wasn't what I meant to say. More often than not. Now, whenever there are people who are actively trying to destroy you, you know, if there are more people saying positive things about you than those who are saying negative things about you, people are wise enough to read the situation and go, I can make my own decision. And most of you do. So even if one of your friends gives a horrible review about Age of Ultron, guess what? You're still watching it, right? We know. Okay, so good question. Anyone else before we move on? Great question. Wala talaga? No comments? Okay. All right. So later I will ask for comments, not questions, para we can interact with the ideas. It's all about experience. Okay, let's look at this passage of Scripture. When I was reading the Scripture, it made me think about how God uses sensorial language. He says there, "Thanks be to God," as Apostle Paul writes, "who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." Those of you who handle facilities, you know the importance of smell. Okay. God, the Apostle Paul uses the language of smell to describe the gospel. It's very interesting. And there's probably something no more powerful than our sense of smell. Okay, it's actually very unconscious of us. We have no control over our sense of smell. Okay? If you don't have a sense of smell, guess what happens? Your appetite's down. Right? You can't eat that well. Okay? Why is that? Why does it have such a direct relationship with something so primal as your stomach? Because the enjoyment of eating actually comes from not your tongue, but your sense of smell. Interestingly enough, diba? So, the idea of fragrance, the idea of smell. What the Apostle Paul is telling us here is, those of us who are in Christ, smell. Think about it. Turn the person beside you, tell that person, "You smell. You smell." Okay? Okay. Now, he goes on and qualifies. For some of us, the very aroma of Christ comes through us to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing, meaning to those who are coming to Christ and those who will not be with Christ after eternity. To the one group, we are the very smell of death. And I don't know if some of you had pre-med courses in college where you had to deal with cadavers. The friends of mine who've done that tell you, they've told me, the clothes you wear during those classes, you will never be able to wash the smell off. The only thing you can do after the class is burn it. Okay? Because it will never, you can never wash that smell off. The smell of dead bodies, the smell of just, you want me to describe it? Okay, so, to the other, it is the fragrance of life. Okay? Yung amoy, ang bango, ang linis, bagong ligo, ganon. Okay? My children, I've had four, okay? So after four, I've learned something, okay? Babies, when they're newly born, wow, they have this baby smell. It's just fun to just smell them, okay? 7-8 months later, they lose it. Okay, they just lose it. No matter how cute they are, I go, they come to me running after work, and I come, "Hey, daddy, 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 daddy." And having four girls is fun because they all do that. "Daddy, daddy, daddy." They jump on me, and then, "I love it." And then they kiss, and then, "Okay, go take a bath first." Okay, and so the idea of smell. There are good smells and there are bad smells. And, you know, I think about that. The Bible says that, you know, we smell. And I think about that idea, and I think, you know, if the experience of interacting with us as an organization or interacting with you as a Christian can be likened to a smell. The Apostle Paul is saying, to some people, you smell like a cadaver. Amoy patay. Amoy, if you ever smell the dead rat in a room and you're trying to figure out where it is, or the very fragrance of life, yung parang, "Uy, ano yun? Sarap. Lapit tayo." Diba? Parang ganon. Bango. Something to think about, okay? The experience you have, the interaction people get when they encounter you. So think about this. Just as actions speak louder than words, your reputation is created more by the actual operations than by marketing. Okay, sometimes we spend way too much time on posters, on promos, on banners, and not as much time thinking of the actual operational experience they get when they walk into your event or your facility or your team building or whatever activity it is you're talking about. Okay? Remember, reputation is created by action, not by promotion. Got it? So, think of it this way. Promotion says this. Excited ka. Hinanda mo pera mo. Binili mo. Pagbigay sa'yo, yan ang nakuha mo. All right? How many of you know, you will be so frustrated. You will probably not go there again. Di ba? So, the average person is jaded. They know people lie. They know organizations lie. They know things are never the way it seems. Too good to be true, right? The average person looks at a Christian with that vantage point. Too good to be true. Hintayin ko lang, magkakalat rin yan. To prove to themselves that, see, you're just like me. You're on a high horse, you Christian, you. You're just like me. Hindi ka pala perfect. Diba? And you see, that's the way they're wired. They're wired to prove you wrong. Because they can't believe the message you're carrying. Now, think about it. As an organization, we exist to honor God and make disciples. That is our promise. They interface with you. They feel this, that you're not living a life that honors God. You get this. After interfacing with you, parang feeling nila, gusto lang nila sa akin pera. Hindi naman nila ako tinutulungan to honor God and make disciples. They're getting a bad experience. Okay? So think about that. What are you doing that's making them realize that you are what you said you are, what you promised is what they're getting, or the other way around, you're not getting what you promised. Okay? Why has the Ignite Campus Conference worked so well over the last 3 runs? Right now, we're at 12,000 plus kids. You know, it's really exciting. I can't wait. I'm praying because, you know, my visa application and everything, we're all waiting for that before I go to the States. I'm actually praying, God, let it come out right after Ignite. Para I have a reason to stay for Ignite, okay? But why is that? Because we said it was going to be about this. And then we worked in the background to make sure what they get was what we said. You get that? So that's very important. Sometimes we spend way too much time on the title of the kids camp, on the look ng poster of the kids camp. We don't spend as much time fighting through the day-to-day, moment-by-moment, minute-by-minute experience of the actual camp. What's God going to do here? What's God going to say there? What's God trying to achieve here? And we don't do that hard work. That's the operational side of an experience. See, when the promise and experience are the same, there is trust, there's reliability, there's integrity. When there is inconsistency, it results in mistrust. Too much mistrust, it will destroy the relationship. Sometimes people can forgive one or two mishaps. Uy, parang hindi yun yung sinabi nila. You know, they asked me to pay 10,000 pesos to join a 3-day retreat. Laking pera yun for me, ha? Sabi nila, ito makukuha ko. After 3 days, hindi ko yata nakuha yun, ha? Hindi na ako pupunta sa susunod. But they will still attend your other events, just not spend the 10,000. But you know what starts to happen? There's now a chance for mistrust. Yung ibang bagay kaya, pinapa-sign up nila ako, I'm gonna spend for a ticket or these things, will I also get what I pay for there or not? And then, so now, the challenge is to rebuild that trust. Okay? So, is your promise and your experience the same? Maya Angelou, this American writer, she passed away already, this is what she said. I may not remember what you said, I may not remember what you did, but I will always remember how you made me feel. It's very true. Okay? I remember Ignite 2011. It's my first big conference kasi, parang ganun. So, I remember after months of planning and thinking things through and the stress to actually get it to make it happen, to one day, I was standing, I remember that so clearly, I was standing in front, and then something was happening in the program, and it was exactly the way when we would pray about it, we felt God was going to do it. I couldn't help but look around and go, wow, it's actually happening the way we planned it. I don't remember what we were doing. I don't remember who was talking. I don't remember what the themes are, what we said. But I remember the moment. I remember feeling the bigness of God. I remember tears coming down my eyes. And then parang nag-flashback to the day when I was in college, and then we were saying, we will change the campus, we will change the world. And there was a brief moment there when I actually looked at each other and we said, posible. Posible. Mukhang talaga magagawa natin to. I remember that. Now, I don't remember the preachers. Ako na nagplano na to, ha, at this rate. Ha? Now, if I can't remember the preachers and I was the one who planned it, can you imagine a student? They don't remember who talked. They don't remember what those 3 points were. They don't remember that, but they remember the feeling. That's how it works. That's how it works. They remember the feeling. Think back to when God saved you, that moment. Do you remember who was talking? Do you remember the context? Do you remember the series? You probably won't remember everything else, but you remember, I kept crying. The preacher was in front, and feeling ko, ako lang ang kausap. We all have kind of similar moments like that, diba? Or, kinupuan ako in one-to-one, and then parang, all of a sudden, it just broke, and then I just knew. Parang, you remember the feeling. That's what you remember. Think about that. When you plan, are we spending so much time thinking of the, thinking of other things that we forget that it's the feelings they go home with? Okay? Here's a quote I got from Tim Keller. I was reading an article of his on the idea of worship, and then I read this, and I thought it was so good, it was worth quoting. So this is a significant chunk of content, but it's worth the time to read. Okay, so Timothy Keller, pastor in New York, had this to say. In recent years, churches have emphasized excellence in worship, especially in seeking to reach non-Christians. In general, churches that focus on excellence tend to attract more non-Christians. Okay, why is that? Because non-Christians are used to excellence. Okay? That's the only basis for them to choose one over the other. Christians kasi, it's not excellent, but I love Jesus anyway, so I'm gonna go. They can dismiss the lack of excellence because they understand truth is more important. Right? But non-Christians don't have that basis. So, non-Christians are attracted to the art, for example, of a tight-sounding worship band or a string quartet. They are not, in general, attracted to the special music of Brother Joe's seventh-grade nephew, who gets up and plays "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" on his clarinet. Right? Alam natin yung idea na yan, di ba? Yung maliit na church, yung anak ng pastor, siya yung makyat, siya yung kumanta, lahat ng tao naiyak, kasi ang laki na niya, kahit hindi magaling kumanta, di ba? Yung inisip nila, ang laki na niya. Ganun yung inisip nila. So natuwa sila. Okay? Now, that music is meaningful for the members of Brother Joe's church who know and love the nephew and who know and love the truth. But those who don't have a relationship either with God, the song, or the kid, or the uncle, are only made uncomfortable by the lack of excellence. We in conferences call it the cringe factor. Okay? Ay, nako. Huwag mo sabihin yan. Cringe factor. Okay? Aesthetics is a movement from the right brain to the left. Consequently, art is often a backdoor to truth. Like, for example, that's why sometimes, how many of you, God speaks to you through movies? You're watching a movie and then, uy, parang na-review ko ni Lord dun, mga ganon. Okay, why is that? Because ganyan tayo. Sometimes through music, God speaks to us through art, mga ganon. Okay? Clearly, people are brought to faith through great aesthetics. The power of the art draws people to behold it. After a while, they begin to wonder if the ideas that inspired it are also true. That's how art speaks truth. As a general rule, and I thought this was so powerful, the larger the church, the more important worship aesthetics become. I would go so far to say that when planting a church, you determine its future size in part by the importance you place on aesthetics, on the operational side. People who studied megachurches in the United States have said that a great leader at his best can relate to 200 people. And then if they focus and they work hard enough, they can build their church up to around 1,000 to 2,000 people. Ibang klaseng leader na yon. The level of charisma, the level of leadership, the level of communication skill, fantastic. Now, to go from 2,000 to our numbers, the only distinguishing factor that they've seen that has allowed churches to grow in those growth barriers has been administration. It's the organization's ability to reinvent itself and operate at a higher level of excellence. The more you reinvent yourself and fix your operations, it grows. It's power and form lang talaga siya. Now, it's important to keep worship aesthetics in perspective. Frankly, I doubt that to God there's much difference. Remember, God looks at the heart. To God, there's no difference. Whether it's a professionally trained string quartet or it's Brother Joe's nephew, he doesn't mind because he's looking at the heart. He's looking for people who worship in spirit and in truth. God is the one that we want to please. I doubt he judges on the basis of aesthetics. Okay? I'll qualify that personally because as I've been reading through, my quiet times have read me through Deuteronomy and Leviticus. God puts a premium on how we worship. There is a standard. So, anyway, the pressure, it's not all just, I'm Christian naman eh, so kahit hindi maganda, for God naman siya eh. Diba? It's not like that. It's actually not like that. Because God smites the one that does that wrong. Is it somebody who offered unholy fire? Patay. Butin lang we're in the new covenant. But, so if we sing off key, can you imagine? Okay, the pressure in a pastor to create a good worship service each week can cause us to react wrongly when the service doesn't come off the way I think it should. Okay, worship service coordinators. Okay, the sense of condemnation when a service does not go well. Okay, I'm a detail person. I can relate to this. And occasionally, I cringe when a vocalist blows it or the microphone system goes haywire. Ako talaga, the conference director in me just cannot. Okay, click, click. Yung lyrics, medyo nakadalawang linya na siya. Nasaan na? Parang, hindi ko kaya eh. Hindi ko talaga, wala talaga sa sistema ko. Nag-e-echo yung microphone, umitingin na ako. Sinasabihin ako, misis ko, mag-worship ka. Kanina pa yung echo eh. I know. So, anyway, that's not good. It indicates an overemphasis on aesthetics. Okay? Yet, just as people can have an aesthetic experience and not worship, they can also worship without good aesthetics. You know that's true. Okay, I remember I was leading worship one time, once upon a time, matagal na to. Okay, before the days of excellence. Okay, so we were in the UP Film Center. This is when Giselle was still a student. Buti nga na-save eh, sa lahat ng nangyayari ng panahon na yun. Nag-brown out yung buong UP. So this generator collapsed, something happened, and we were in a film center, which is a theater. Okay, it's a theater. So inside the theater, biglang nag-brown out. Boom, nag-on lahat ng mga ganyan na mga emergency lights. Tok, 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 tok. Ang dilim. So namatay yung mga emergency light. Hindi kasi siya naka-charge. So, tok, tok, tok. Oh man, panic. So nagbukasan ng mga exit doors. Butin lang the exit doors. UP kasi yan. So labas niya, open air. So nag-flood in yung lights from the sunlight from outside. Tingin ako kay Pastor Manny, who's in front. Siya yung pastor namin. What do I do, Pastor Manny? I'm leading worship. What do you do, Pastor Manny? Think it's Pastor Manny. Just continue to sing. So, no sound system, no lights, no projector. We go, guys, with the loudest voice I could muster, thank you, ROTC training. Diba? Everybody knows this song, right? And then I started to lead them to sing a song. I started with the cadence and the clap, and I looked at them, my backup singers, you better sing loud. Here we go, you know? And so we started to sing one of the more familiar songs. We ended the song. People started clapping. The music did not come back until like 15 minutes later. The sound system started to reset everything. The generator had to be fired, all of that. 15 minutes later, we had to do two songs. And parang I was like, Lord, help. But, you know, more people went up to me after that particular service and said, the worship was so anointed. Then when we had the sounds and the lights and the lyrics. I think it was because they couldn't hear me. I was this cringe factor whenever the microphone was on. But anyway, you see, it's possible. Eh? You shut off the world, you can connect with God in your spirit. Diba? It's true. Eh? But a person who isn't a Christian can't. And the only thing they can do is rely on what's visible and heard. So everybody else is singing, the lyrics don't show up. Nahihiya sila. Hindi nila alam yung song. They feel out of place. Does that make sense? So why is it important to press the lyrics on time? Not because we're pedantic on, hey, excellence! Oh, eh. No. It's the rationale. What am I doing as a tech as I press? I'm helping people learn to worship God. If you miss the reason, you start doing it for the wrong reasons. I used to do that. My number one ministry at the time, acetate. I was so good at changing acetate, yung song to song, yung nagmamash up pa ng panahon na yun. Kaya, ang galing na galing ko. Kahit nakaluhod ako, kaya ko ipalit yung kanta. That was my ministry before. Now, we're committed to excellence, but we do not want to make it a non-negotiable. Aesthetics are negotiable. Truth is not negotiable. I mean, there are days where, voila, that's all we have. No projector, no ano. But what leads people? Truth. What sets people free? Truth. Always remember that. But people who do not know truth can only rely on outward things to figure out if truth is real. So remember, when they go home, they won't remember that power truth. What they'll remember is the experience of the service. How long did it take for God to break through all of your preconceived notions before truth got through? Why did you keep coming back? It wasn't because the truth was so real. It was because there was some feeling you got that you couldn't quite explain that you wanted more of. Right? That's how it was for all of us. So the other side of it is we now live in a world that understands this also. So every other world, every other organization in the world is also trying their best to give an amazing experience. So we have to compete. And it is not, we cannot as Christians, just because we're a non-profit organization, we cannot lag behind. We cannot. It is just not possible for us to not engage the culture. I was talking to Pastor Steve because he was saying, I finally got Pastor Steve on Instagram. Follow him, huh? I finally got him on Instagram. He goes, why? Why do I need that Instagram? Because you always post on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, Pastor Steve. And here's what got him. The biggest growth of Twitter in the last year, the biggest number of people who signed up to Twitter last year were age 45 to 65. He looked at me. If you want to stay relevant to the target audience we're trying to reach, you got to go on Instagram. The next day, he was on Instagram. What am I saying? I love the fact that Pastor Steve, who would rather do other things and not have to deal with technology, not have to learn how to learn this app that doesn't make sense. So now he's practicing Instagram. He's taking a picture, then he's going, okay. I started teaching him filters, and I forget about that. How do I tag the person that I have a picture of? You need to be his friend. Or find out what his... So I was teaching him. Okay, all right. So he's doing it. And then he does it. Then posts, boom. I watched his phone because I had it when I signed him up on Instagram. When I signed him up on Instagram, in a matter of 10 minutes, his number of followers jumped from 10 to 125. Talk. Sabi ko, whoa! Kasi it announces pala on Facebook. Diba? Yung parang, your friend, Steve Murrow, is now on Instagram. It's like, whoa! Tok, ang dami! So, kaliw lang. But anyway, guess what? Everybody's going, yay, you're in Instagram. Now he's relevant again. Right? We need to always challenge ourselves. Never get satisfied. Just because the last camp was awesome doesn't mean to say this camp's going to be awesome. We never try to best ourselves. You see, I need you guys to understand this because I'm a pedant. I push for excellence. but I don't try to beat myself. My goal is not to do better than last time. My goal is to do my best where we are right now. That's not the same. One is an unnecessary pressure. And what if the best right now, given the environment, given the context, given the situation, given the elements, given all the resources that I have, it's not going to be as bonga, as big, as high budget as the last one? Does that mean I am doing less? No. I can still give a great experience and give God my best. The goal is always to give our best, not to top the last one. It's not the same. Very important. Okay? So there's a lot of pressure now on the Ignite group kasi it's a new team doing it. I'm not there. I'm not facilitating. But I sat down with them and I said, the goal isn't to top the last one. The goal is to get God's message this year to the young people. If they can experience that, we did our job. Right? So, how do you create this experience? First, you plan it. Determine what you are promising. And when we talk about planning, I talk about two ideas. Let me say the four P's. Plan, promote. So think about what you're promising. Pray through it. Decide, agree together as a leadership team. Then promote it. Create an expectation in people's minds of what the promise is. That's why people release teasers, promo videos, announcements. You know, how many people have seen Ultron, Age of Ultron trailers before the actual movie comes up? That anticipation, kasi, you create that anticipation. Okay? Then you deliver on the promise. No amount of high anticipation will change the fact that it's a lousy movie. In fact, if you build anticipation too high and then it's lousy, mas malaki yung bagsak, mas frustrating. Right? So deliver on the promise and then please. So plan it, promote it, practice what you're promoting, then please them. Delight them so well that they come back and talk to others about it. Think about it. You've never been trained to tell other people you like the movie or not. Nobody taught you. Here's the 5 ways to invite your friends to a movie. Here's the 3 ways to recommend a restaurant to your friends. Nobody's ever taught you how to do that. Why do we have trainings? Here's how you invite your non-Christian friends to church. You see, if you really like something, you will talk about it. If you really love the service, you will talk about it. It's going to affect you so much, you can't help but put it on your Facebook wall. It'll impact you so much, you can't help but quote it. Does that make sense? You don't need to train people to share. It's their instinct to share what's good. The challenge is to make it good so they'll share. Sometimes they don't share because it's not good. But because they love you, they won't leave. Does that make sense? Plan, promote it, then practice what you're promising, and then please them so much. Surprise and delight. Wow them. Let them leave with such a, busog ako dun ah. Sulit ah. Sa binayad ko. Sa oras ko, ito nakuha ko. One of the best things I love about the, I keep referencing the conferences because it's fun. Because I have volunteers. One of my favorite wins as a conference director is the number of return volunteers. Because you cannot buy that. The people who are lining up saying, uy, pag next event ha, sama mo ulit kami. To me, is testimony that their experience was so good, they want to pay me to do it again. How are they paying me? They're the ones giving of their time. They're giving me their time at no cost to me. In fact, they're spending to get to me. They're using their money to get to me. If I were to quantify their skills to pay them for what they will do for me, I don't have the budget to do it. I will not be able to pay all of them. they are paying me so that they could get this experience that they will go home with because it will change their lives. So if you're not able to recruit new volunteers for a particular ministry, stop, think. Is it because of the experience? Nobody's talking about it. Stop and find out why. There's something about the practice isn't worth talking about. Okay? I keep talking about when I would lead the team, I talk to them about spirit-led planning and grace-filled execution. Spirit-led planning, grace-filled execution. One of the most important things I need you all to remember, and as admins, this is the one we forget, because we just get to work. But we are first Christians, and this is His church. Meaning, we, in order for us to help administrate and grow the church right, we have to align with Him, because He's the one building the church. So that means spirit-led planning to me means learning to listen to the Holy Spirit for what He's doing right now and aligning ourselves with that. So I kid you not, there are days that when I was planning some of the events that we did, there would be days I'd wake up and I knew here's how it was going to look. I knew here's how it was going to look. I just knew it. You know, that doesn't come just randomly. That comes as you sit at the feet of Jesus and wait. Remember Martha and Mary? We all of us here, including myself, have the tendency to just Martha our way through it all. Mary chose what was right. Okay? We all paint Mary as this lazy person kasi, yeah, be honest. You all side with Martha. You all think, if Martha wasn't working, nobody was going to get fed. It's very easy for us to do that. But the truth is, Jesus said, sitting at my feet, you don't do that enough. Something changed in your heart, Martha. You were the one who invited me. If you look at the story, Martha was the one who invited Jesus. And then she did not have time for Him. Think about that. The other part is grace-filled execution. You only do what God's grace enables you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. If God doesn't give me the grace for that, I stop. Pastor Joey was the one who taught me that. He would go to my office because he noticed after a while that I would always leave very late. So one day, he actually went to my office, looked at me, put down my computer and said, go home. Go home. Tomorrow is another day. Go home. There is grace for tomorrow too. So I learned to do that. Now I go home, whether there's work or not. No, but seriously. The idea that there is grace for the day. There is grace for the day. You know, at the end of the day, the experience is powerful, it's spirit-filled, because the people who planned it and the people who executed it were empowered and spirit-filled. Again, Acts 6, people who were full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, people who prayed, people who are those the kind of admins we have. That should be the kind of team you lead. Okay? So, here's what we're going to do. Quick discussion. Let's do both questions. It's going to be fun. Share two wow moments you've had in your life. What made it wow for you? What earned the wow in your soul? Okay? And the second question is, think of your most recent activity as a church or as a department. You know, you've all led events and activities. You've all done projects. So think of your most recent one. Were there any wow moments there? Okay? All right? Got it? All right. Go.